Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, welcome back to the show. We just transitioned to the second hour. I got back just in the nick of time. I had to go get some water. I did like a 16-mile today in a blazing hot sun, getting ready for the old New York Marathon. But anyway, people, before we went to the break, I mentioned that back in August the 12th of 2017, that was my first job as a field reporter for Liberty News Radio. Went up there, had my official lanyard, my official credentials. I still got them right now hanging on my safe. Very proud of that. But we went up there to protest the removal, the destruction of the one and only, one of the greatest people ever lived, as far as I'm concerned, General Robert E. Lee. Well, it got stalled off, but today a friend of ours sent a picture, and they're moving that statue like they did the Nathan Bedford Forrest statue here in Memphis. It just broke my heart. It had the strangest feeling when I saw that. They did it our enemy did it in the dead of the night, horrible winter night, about 11 o'clock at night. And people, that's just another act of destruction against our white people, our white Christian race. I like to quote the great Dr. Michael Hill. He said, first they're going to come for the linen. Well, they've already got that. They got rid of our flags, our Confederate battle flag, all of our Southern flags. They got rid of the Christian flag. He said, then they're going to come for the stone. Well, they've done that. Then, folks, then they're coming for your lily white skin. They're going to get you. They're going to get your kids, your grandchildren. They're not satisfied until you're dead. They want to kill you. They hate you. They hate your guts. They hate your God. They hate everything about you. And they will not rest until every one of us are in the grave. And then you know what they're going to do? They're going to dump feces and sewage on us. That's how bad they hate us, because it's a satanic spirit. What do you think about that, Jason?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this whole anti-white concept that we see, you know, on the news or in the TV, newspapers, whatever, this whole concept of anti-white that is being perpetrated out everywhere, it's caused white people to be to be ashamed of themselves, think that they have nothing worth to preserve, nothing worth to fight for, and in our race and our culture is something unique. We have a right to exist. It's a basic concept, and that's why we always talk about white genocide. Is white people have a right to exist. They talk about blacks have a right to exist. They say that every race has a right to exist. But when it talks about white people, for a white person says, I have a right to exist. I have a culture and a heritage, a beautiful past to preserve and to pass on to the next generation. We have a right to exist. For that statement alone is considered racist, considered bigots. They'll call it evil terms. They'll say neo-Nazis. They'll say you're just a horrible people, because of the fact they do not want our people to be proud of who we are, because they know that once white people are proud of who we are, then we will fight for it. And that is why they do not want our people to preserve our culture and heritage. And that is something that we have to continue every single day to be a voice to our people. In every capacity we can do, we need to do that. And so, yes, it is a shame. And there be going to be a lot of people that won't listen to us, but there will be a lot of people that will listen to us. And people are starting to waken up. They're starting to understand the evilness that is happening. And I think it's a great time. It's a beautiful time to be alive and to be a white Christian, because God has sent each one of us to be a witness to our people. And to me, that's a beautiful thing that God has touched each one of us. That's on the show and other people that's been on the show to be a voice for Him and be a witness to our people.
Right. These are the
absolutely
one
well spoken, and I'll reiterate: an unspoken truth is worse than a lie. And you know, Jason and the rest, and Fred and Monica, you know, if people and listening in the audience, if you'll go to our website, the Blood River Radio, our flagship, our number one issue in the beginning, what we were fighting for was to fight against global white genocide. It's in progress right now. It's been in progress for over 100 years, and it's well on its way to do. They're well on their way to bringing this, our genocide, to a bloody conclusion. They think they've won. Have they won, Fred? Fred, have our enemies, have our Jewish enemies, the Christ haters, Christian haters, have they won?
No, of course not. But these are the one worlders that are doing this. They're trying to make everybody the same color, which is going to be a mix. They want one world on this planet. Everybody under some kind of a one ruler who's going to be, it's going to be martial law. These people are crazy. You know what they forget, and this is unfortunate, but most of these people were protected and they were fought for by the white people, and they're turning around and they're biting the hand that saved them, and they're attacking the white people. And you can see what happens the minute they kick the white people out of their country. Look what happened in Africa. Look what happened in Rhodesia. Look what's going on now in South Africa. They're killing all the white people, and they're killing each other because they don't know how to run their government. They don't know how to run anything. All they know is kill, kill, kill. And, you know, I mean, it's a shame that that's happening, but it's true. And we have to fight the one worlders. We have to fight the United Nations. We have to get it through the head that we're not going to take their crap. They may let them stay over there and do what they want to each other, but stay away from us. But, you know.
Well, I think you did a great job on that, Fred. I really do. You know, one thing that frustrates me is so many of our own race will turn against us. They will fight you to the death for a black, for a Jew, but especially a black. They just, so many people that I used to run with in Midtown. You know, everybody's heard me talk about these airheads in Midtown. But they will fight you to the death over the black. But they just hate our own people. They love homosexuals. The same people, they love the homosexuals. They love the so-called gay agenda. But, you know, it's just really, really, really disgusting to me. Matter of fact, I've said this, I'll say it again. I hope people don't get tired of hearing it. But I consider that one of our worst enemies, if not the worst enemy in the United States, to be the apostate church. Just about all the evangelical churches, you name it, you pick your church. Baptist, yes. Methodist, yes. Lutheran, Presbyterian, they've all been infiltrated. I heard a guy today, I was going to try to get him on the air, but he started talking about the Judeo-Christian church and say the Judeo-Christian, it's like saying a virgin whore. Most of the churches are going right along with this. So how about that, Jason?
Well, absolutely. The Christian church today, or the so-called Christian church today, they like to call themselves Judeo-Christians, which I think is funny because, like you said, I mean, how can you be a Christian and believe in Judaism? And that's basically what it is. However, the churches of today, they no longer teach scriptures. They no longer teach the old past. They don't teach sound Christian principles, and they promote this idea of that we are all one blood. They promote this idea, was the doctrine of one blood. That means that we are all people of under God, and they don't understand scripturally. Christianity, from the very beginning of time, has always stood with the concept that Christianity was for our people, that Western civilization has always been the same as Christianity. You cannot separate the two. That's why Europe was known as Christendom. Church today, they have basically abandoned their roots. They have abandoned the philosophy and the sound doctrine of Christianity, and they accept this idea of Judaism. There was a rabbi, I'm trying to remember his name, but there was a rabbi around 1979 that gave a speech, and he said Christianity would be the tool that it will be used to turn Christianity into Judaism. And so that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing Christianity being turned to Judaism, which hates Christ. They hate everything that Christ stood for. And that, in the churches today, they follow that concept. And that's why they promote homosexuality. They promote miscegenation, race mixing. And those are the two foundations of that Christianity has always stood for. They was always against miscegenation, and they were always against homosexuality. And those are the two moral sins that we see being echoed out in the world today. And if you're against those two basic concepts, then you're evil, and you're not now even considered a Christian.
But these
absolutely.
People,
as a matter of fact, I've said this before, and I know people probably think I'm repeating myself, and I will repeat myself. One of the largest, oldest, most blue-blooded churches in all of Memphis, I think it's First Baptist Church. It was probably built around 1915, right around there, about the time that we have Riverside Drive. We have South Riverside, East Riverside, North Riverside. But it used to be kind of like a bypass around Memphis. So that's when this elite First Baptist Church was built. And they have, and I've been told on this, I won't swear to it, but I've been told they have a homosexual pastor there. And it must be because at the sign outside on their church says a new way to be Baptist. People, we got to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll switch gears a little bit. We'll get Fred Richard to talk about stuff. We'll be right.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people in our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, like we said, back in the day when I used to be a Baptist, I used to say there was no such thing as luck, that everything, you know, it's a good fortune from God. Well, that's true, but I'm going to tell you what, anybody that's ever hunted and fished, anybody that's ever been under direct assault or gunfire knows that there isn't such a thing as luck. I don't care what they say. And I used to argue with my minister about that. But anyway, people, we're going to go right back to Miss Monica. You know what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the horrible, outrageous assault on the white race. And I have a friend of mine says, we shouldn't talk about the Holocaust because we should just stay on this issue and that issue. No, we're going to cover all of them because the Holocaust, there's nothing bigger, no bigger lie than the Holocaust. And
you know, that hooks together with the United States Ship Liberty lie, Ku Klux Klan lie, but the Holocaust is probably the, it's probably been the most damaging lie ever. And that's Fred Lurcher's expertise on the night. So, Miss Monica and Jason, we're going to go to Fred now. Fred, if you will, give the audience, most of the audience probably knows about your work, but some of them don't. Give them a quick nutshell biography of yourself and tell them about the work you did with Ernst Sundell's trial and going to Poland and Germany, et cetera, et cetera. You know what we talked about during the break. Go ahead, fella.
Yeah. There's a couple of comments I want to make first, which I don't want to let go. But we were talking about these evangelical Christian, supposed to be Christian churches. And none of these are Christian. They have no right to call themselves Christian because no matter what else they're saying, in order to be a Christian, you have to accept the new covenant. These people are all going back to the old covenant, and they're saying that the Jews are the chosen people. That's a religious issue which they cannot get by. And that's something that most Yes. people don't realize, but these people are not Christians. They're all Jews.
Would you say, Mr. Fred, and I've read the Bible through and through, would you say that the modern evangelical or Christian churches that call themselves, any church that calls themselves a Judeo-Christian church, I would say they fit this scarlet and gold harlot that's riding the beast, that whore of Babylon, that whore that's drunk on the blood of the saints. Do you think that's a modern evangelical church?
Well, you know, a lot of people call the Jewish religion the synagogue of Satan. And if you really go back and you look at what happened, and that's why Christ came along and did what he did, somewhere along the line, in the ancient times, the Jews switched from worshiping God to worshiping Satan. And what's now happened, Christ came along and he said, look, that's not my father. My father is not a vindictive God. He's not a nasty person. He doesn't want to kill people. My father's a God of love. And the only thing you have to do is love him, and you're going to get into heaven. That's essentially what he said. So, I mean, we're actually dealing with people that are worshiping Satan.
You nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. Because if you know, if I've had people, friends of mine that purport to be Christians, and they say, well, I absolutely stand with Israel. I absolutely stand with the Jews. Well, and I'm going to go beat this to death because I talk about it almost every show. If you go to Saint Paul,
the other point.
St. John 8. Go ahead, Fred.
I'm going to direct this mostly toward Monica, but the United States is in a terrible mess today for a number of reasons, and one of them is the evangelicals, and we've said enough about them. But Canada is in a mess today too, and the people in Canada and the people in the United States, although some of them have switched lately, are actually the same basic people. They came here to get away from the Europeans that were constantly in wars and having problems. They came here to be alone, and the Europeans have been enforcing their authority on them for years. But the point I wanted to make is the entire western half of Canada should be part of the United States because their beliefs are the same as the people in the United States. Now, a lot of our people have changed, and they don't understand what the United States originally meant, and that's And this really hits home when we talk about what happens down south, is the United States used to be, up until the Civil War, these United States. After the Civil War, it became the United States. It's not the United States. These United States were a group of states that came together, and they're separate, and they have one common allegiance, they still have the integral right of the separate states. And that's the change. We've had changes here, and we shouldn't have had them. You know, I consider myself a Yankee, and when I say this, a lot of Southerners look at me and say, oh, wait a minute. But as my attorney found out, Kirk Lyons, when he came up here to defend me, I'm a different kind of Yankee. I'm a colonial Yankee. My family started the revolution. I had a relative at Lexington. I had a granduncle that was in command at Bunker Hill. So the Yankees were really, as far as I'm concerned, the Yankees were not the Northern Army. They were not the Bluecoats during the Civil War. These people were something else. They changed. They should have known better. A Yankee believed that all the states were separate. So, but at any rate, I wanted to mention that because, as I said, the whole western part of Canada should be part of the United States, and we can take some of our northern states here, and we can give them to Canada and let them fight it out up there. Did you copy all that, Monica?
Oh, yeah, I'm listening. Well, there is a Western Canada separatist party that's been just to separate from the rest of Canada. Not so sure about joining the United States. I'm sure there are many people who would like to do that, but there has been an Alberta separatist party. There's been a Western Canada separatist party. This has been a common theme for a long, long time, let me tell you. But I did want to just respond a little bit to some of the things earlier, also from what Jason was saying and all the monuments, and actually what you were saying, Eddie, about the Robert E. Lee monument. In Canada, the same modus operandi is happening now. John A. Macdonald's monuments are being taken down. That's Canada's first prime minister, and all kinds of lies and distortions are being told about him as well. And so, yeah, this is to erase our history is one step along the way to erase us and to genocide us. And it always comes back to the synagogue of Satan, the Jews. This is who's doing this. They make us fight each other. They cause brother wars. Who was it? I think the matriarch of the Rothschilds. If my sons do not want wars, there will be no wars. A quote, I think it was the matriarch. Now, also, one of you had mentioned this thing about, I think, Jason, you talked about how just to have some kind of racial awareness and let alone pride in our ancestors or in ourselves, in our people, is forbidden or it's smeared and whatnot, it's discouraged. Well, it's downright a crime here in Canada. Whenever some poster appears that just simply says it's okay to be white, the police are called. They start an investigation. That sounds like it's a criminal thing to just say it's okay to be white. That is forbidden. And just one more thing I'll say. Jason, you said it's a great time to be alive. I just want to mention that that's something that my brother Alfred Schaefer says all the time. This is a great time to be alive. And he says that from his quote unquote space capsule. Actually, it's a jail cell, but he calls it his space capsule, and he's on a mission. And it's a,
Sister
it is
Monica,
a great
two
time.
Points. Two yeah. points, if you will. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe Paul Fromm had some dealings with that, with the posters, those posters you mentioned putting up that it's okay to be white. I believe he might have been privy to some of that or involved in some of that. I saw that. He sends me. I get updates from him. And my second point I was going to ask you, if you can comment on that, on Paul Fromm and the posters, if you know anything about that. And secondly, tell us a little bit more about Alfred, how he's doing.
Yeah.
And how we can get mail to him.
Here's, oh, yes, okay. Actually, rather than saying the address on the air, it would probably be easier to direct people to my website, which is called freespeechmonica.com. And Monica is with a K. And there is a support Alfred Schaefer page there that's easy to find. And his address is there. And the quote I like, "One moment of truth is worth more than a lifetime of lies." That's from Alfred Schaefer.
We got to get that. I got to write that down. People will be right back, and I'm going to get that quote on my wall. Be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. President Joe Biden told Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday in a Friday phone call that he must take action against cyber criminals acting in his country and that the U.S. reserves the right to defend its people and its critical infrastructure, the White House said.
The United States expects when a ransomware operation is coming from his soil, even though it's not sponsored by the state, we expect them to act.
A fire engulfed a food and beverage factory outside Bangladesh's capital, killing at least 52 people, many of whom were trapped inside by an illegally locked door, fire officials said Friday. The blaze began Thursday night at the five-story Hashim Foods Limited factory, sending huge clouds of black smoke billowing into the sky. This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow, made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. Its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
Pfizer and BioNTech said they will seek approval from the FDA for a booster shot of its COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. However, the FDA and CDC said that a booster is not necessary at this time. Here's public health expert Dr. Aditi Narukar.
Pfizer and other drug companies will continue to iterate whatever formulations they have. And that's not uncommon. And that's just something that they're doing. And they've been doing this for lots of vaccines and drugs. And it's just a natural process.
They expect a third dose to be even more powerful based on early data that has not yet been published or submitted to the FDA or other regulatory bodies. Despite most experts predicting that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates as soon as 2023, an improving jobs market and rising inflation is leading the president of one Federal Reserve bank to believe it should happen sooner, which would create an uptick on mortgage and refinance rates. This is USA Radio News.
Dear people, dear Blood River Radio family, I just get chills thinking about you people out there. I'm an emotional fella. I get attached to people. I love you so much. Like I've often told people, you don't become a combat medic. You don't become an RN in a trauma center. You don't become trauma certified for money. You do it because you love your people. And people also, I would like to repeat this thing that Monica just said, that her dear brother Alfred said. He's never bent. He's never taken a knee. He's in prison in Germany for speaking the truth. He said, one moment of truth is worth more than a lifetime of lies. Amen, Alfred. God bless you, brother. People also, you talk about the lies, the linchpin of all lies that I know of. There's no lie. It's bigger. No lie has ever done the white race, the white Christian race, more harm than the lie of the Holocaust. And we have the master, we have the man who drove a wooden stake through that vampire of all lies, that linchpin of lies, the Holocaust. How about that, Fred? Tell us a little bit about the work you did on the Holocaust, and you know the drill. Go ahead, Fred.
Yes, well, as most people know, I was involved in the manufacture of execution equipment here in the United States. I was the only one doing it. I became involved because they were torturing people to death with the equipment because nobody knew how to run it anymore. Most of it was old and obsolete. But because of this, I was contacted by by Ernst Sundel's defense team, primarily through the working of Dr. Robert Forreston, because he was saying for years that the only way we're going to break the Holocaust lie is to get an expert on gas chambers. And that's what they did. They contacted the states in the United States that did gas executions. They referred them to me. I went to Canada expecting, and I told Ernst that, as far as I knew, I expected there was a Holocaust. I was sent to Poland, and I got a very rude awakening, because when I got there, I realized that everything that was said was just a total joke. There were no gas chambers. They were impossible. It was impossible to do any of the stuff they said they did. And I came back, and I wrote a report, and I testified in court in Canada. And I testified on how this stuff wouldn't have worked. I had numbers. I also took samples for chemical analysis, and we proved that there was no hydrogen cyanide in any of the places that were allegedly gas chambers. And what the worst thing that's happened with this lie, I mean, it's a money-making machine for Israel, is what it is. But the worst thing that's happened here is they've almost totally destroyed Germany. They turned the Germans against themselves. They took they browbeat all the children in Germany, and they shamed everybody in Germany, and they said, you murdered 6 million people, and you should be ashamed of themselves. And they convinced all the German youngsters that they should be ashamed and they should hide their head. And they totally took the backbone out of the German culture. And that's a total disgrace. This is something that the British are experts at, probably because of the Jewish influence there. But the Jewish did the same thing. The British did the same thing with Ireland. When they couldn't defeat the Irish in battle, they turned around and they ceded a new country in Northern Ireland, and they had the Irish fighting the Irish. Ostensibly the Protestants fighting the Catholics. It's got nothing to do with a religious issue, although most people think it does. Even the people that are fighting think it's a religious issue, but it isn't. These people are insidious. They went after Ireland the same way that they went after Germany. And it's a shame, because you've got the children in Germany are confused. They don't know where they are or who they are. They're ashamed of their national identity. And that is the most disgraceful thing that anybody could have done.
So. You're absolutely right, Fred.
Go ahead. I was going to say, no one knows more about that than what's happening to the Germans than Monica. So go ahead, Monica. Comment on that.
Yeah, they knew all lies, the Jews who ran these wars, really, and used the white people to kill other white people, really. But they knew that they couldn't just destroy Germany militarily. Well, they had it in the bag, because the whole world ganged up on Germany. You know, by about end of 1943, they knew they were going to win militarily. But they knew that the only way to crush Germany forever is to kill their mind and spirit. And so they actually had all kinds of, you know, think tank activities going on. I think I mentioned this on a previous show here. The Bletchley Park had 200 of, you know, smart minds there from all allied countries to figure out how to destroy the German mind and spirit. And, you know, that's what they set about doing. And they plotted and schemed how could they destroy the German mind. And they have largely succeeded with that But, you know, it's not over till it's over. And there are a lot of people in Germany who are waking up. And when you read some of the old poets from centuries gone by, it seems like Germany has been through this kind of thing before. And then when they wake up, oh boy, do they ever wake up and they rise up. So I would say that it is not a hopeless situation. However, a huge proportion of the population has been so demoralized and degenerated and whatnot. And I wonder if I might be able to read this quote from Sefton Delmer. I had to step away for a moment. Did you do that, Fred? Did you mention Sefton Delmer?
No, I hadn't.
Yeah, former British chief propagandist, so a black propaganda minister, and he said this to a German professor just after the capitulation in 1945, quote, "Atrocity propaganda is how we won the war, and we are only really beginning with it now. We will continue this atrocity propaganda. We will escalate it until nobody will accept even a good word from the Germans, until all the sympathy they may have had abroad will have been destroyed, and they themselves will be so confused that they will no longer know what they are doing. Once that has been achieved, once they begin to pollute their own nest, run down their own country and their people, not reluctantly, but with eagerness to please the victors, only then will our victory be complete. It will never be final. Re-education needs careful tending, like an English lawn. Even one moment of negligence and the weeds crop up again. Those indestructible weeds of historical truth." End of quote. Imagine that. So it's exactly what you said, Fred, that the people themselves are so confused. They're destroying themselves in Germany.
England did the same thing to Germany in World War One, except that they didn't have enough time. I mean, they called the Germans the Huns. Well, the Huns struck fear in the heart of every European because they came from China, and they came in and they actually sacked Rome. I mean, the Europeans were afraid of the word Hun. And they turned around and called the Germans the Huns, and they drew pictures of Chinese people with German helmets on them, with spikes on the top of them. And, you know, I mean, the British Secret Service is a master at doing things like this. As I say, they just didn't have enough time. After World War One, the world became isolationist because it was the biggest war that was ever fought up to that time. That's why the League of Nations fell apart, because they didn't want to do this anymore.
One thing should be noted that, yes, they did all kinds of lies about the Germans in World War One, and told lies to make the other countries hate the Germans. But then after World War One, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that they admitted that these were lies, that it was war propaganda. But after World War Two, the lies just escalated and escalated and escalated. And the real purpose, it's not just the Germans are the target, it's all white people. Because, and this brings us full circle to, you know, Jason's, you're telling us about the KKK and, you know, white genocide. So if we bring up something about, we object to all the people being brought into our countries, well, immediately we are labeled racist and, oh, this is going to lead
Nazis.
To another Holocaust. Another Holocaust. See, that's where the Holocaust really is a linchpin lie.
I hope so.
They use
right.
it.
You know what, Monica, you said something on another show. They'll always bring up, somebody will be sounding really good, but they'll always say, oh, then this reminds us of Hitler and the Nazis. Anyway, when we come back, people, we're going to go to, I think Jason will have some questions for Mr. Fred. Be right back. Hold on.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Oh, dear people, man, we're at the last segment. It has really gone quick. But listen, I'd like to also remind our audience, if you would like to listen to a two hours long, packed from wall to wall, the complete details of Fred Lutcher's expedition over to Poland and Germany at the behest of the Ursundel's defense team, what you heard tonight is nothing compared to what we did then. If you would like to go into our archives, it's the first hour and second hour of April 3rd. We had Miss Monica on. We had Fred Lutcher and Jürgen Neumann. Jürgen was he was like the right-hand man of Ursundel. So I would encourage you to go listen to that archive. We might even play that archive. I don't like to do archives. I like to do live, but if we have to do our archive, we'll do that. But I would encourage you to go and listen to that 2 hours, because you probably won't listen to it more than once. But anyway, with that, we're going to go back to Jason. Jason, what questions do you have, if any, for Fred about his experience over there in Poland and Germany?
Well, I do. I kind of want to make a statement about Fred. You know, when he was hired from with Ernst Zundel, I think it was around 1988, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. I'm 47 years old, so that would have been when I was around 14 or 15 years old.
Right.
And even at that time, I remember my dad, who would talk to me, my brother and sister. Of course, we're all raised in this movement. And I remember my dad just making the statement how the evil attack they were trying to to you, the evil attack, the name-calling, just because of the fact that you were just going and being unbiased to make a report on your findings, and how that made the Jews so upset that you have this guy going over to Germany to be fair, just give an opinion. And I remember my dad just saying it's just how horrible it was that they were doing it against you. And I was like 14 or 15, and I really didn't understand the concept at that point was going on. I mean, I heard what my dad was talking about, you know, the Ernst Zundel trial, but I remember him making that statement, how just anytime anybody just wants to try to give a unbiased opinion, trying to have a difference of opinion, just the evil that comes out of these Jews and these people that tries to give a counter opinion. And I just remember that. And so they've always stuck with me, just how you had you, Fred, who were just hired to do a job, and how they did not like the fact that you were trying to give your own opinion on this matter. And so I just want to make that statement. It was really a question, but it's just more of a statement how, you know, I guess more I'm talking is, I don't know if people really understand the backlash you suffered from that investigation.
Great point. Great point, Jason. I'm glad you brought that up. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, they came after me. They I had Nazi hunters, the Klausfelds, came over from France, and they filed a complaint, which they had no right to do because they had no standing in Massachusetts. They filed a complaint against me for practicing as an engineer without a license. And you don't have to be licensed to be an engineer in any state, only if you're certifying blueprints. But at any rate, they firebombed my house. When I was on trial here in Malden, I was given information, and I didn't know why. I was being followed by somebody for 3 days, and I had a friend who was the head of the Massachusetts State Police. He told my cousin, because we used to play together when we were children, he said, get a message to Freddie. He says, I can't talk to him myself because he's being prosecuted in court. But we got word from the CIA and from the State Department that there's two Mossad agents in Malden, and we don't know what they're doing. Well, what they were doing was following me around. And I let them follow me up into a portion of Malden that was very congested. The streets were narrow. I spun my car out so they couldn't go anywhere. I walked back, and it was a big black limousine. I pounded on a window, and when the window opened, I pulled my Colt 45 out, cocked it, and pressed it against his nose, and asked him what he wanted. These two swarthy type Middle Eastern gentlemen, who they were very dark complected Jews, they blanched, they turned white. They didn't know what to do. They did, but they backed the car up, backed over a sidewalk, smashed somebody's fence, took off, and I was in the best position in the world because they couldn't afford to have a shootout. Can you imagine what would happen if we found out that if the world found out that that Israel sent two Mossad agents over to follow me around in Malden? I'm licensed to carry a firearm. I'm not afraid, But they shouldn't have been there in the first place. But yes, they did a lot of nasty things to me. The B'nai B'rith actually put out a white paper saying that I built the gas chambers at Auschwitz. And
thanks for noticing.
Yeah, I was a year old. I must have been one precocious engineer. I'll say that much.
You're a hell of an engineer. Georgia Tech, my dad. Yeah. Rambly Rex from Georgia Tech. He's a hell of an engineer.
Yeah, that's right. At 1 year old, they threw all kinds of mud at me, and they did all kinds of things. But I mean, consider the source. Look what they did to Germany at the end of World War One. They deposed the leader, they deposed the Kaiser, they kicked him out of the country, and they dismembered the country. And then after the Second World started, they did a terrible job on Germany during the Weimar Republic, and then after that was over, after World War II ended, they were worse. This time, they never signed a peace treaty with Germany. Nothing is ever ended. Germany is still an occupied country. We're the only ones that are in there now because we're the only ones that can afford it. Russia won't spend the money. England doesn't have enough money to spend. So the only place that's in there, and of course the United States is being run by all those Jews that are supported by the evangelical Christians and that are sending all the money, the foreign aid to Israel, and it all comes back through AIPAC . So that's why we're occupying Germany. Germany shouldn't be occupied. We shouldn't be in there in the first place. Second place, it's costing us a fortune because all our bases, we're paying rent for them. We should leave them alone and let the Germans do their own thing.
2 points, Fred. We're being occupied here in the South by the same forces since 1865 that the Germans are being occupied by. And secondly, I'd like to. I remember a quote you said that the United States of America is the only country in the history of the world that's ever had gas chambers. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I remember what you said. I listen when you speak. Go ahead, Fred.
But gas chambers were a result from the use of gas during World War I. And the idiots that decided to use it in the United States thought it was more humane. It was only more humane because it didn't bloody anybody. It didn't burn anybody. It didn't break any bones. But it's actually the worst form of execution you have because you suffocate to death, and you suffocate from the inside out, because the cyanide replaces the oxygen on the hemoglobin molecule in the blood, so that the blood can't carry oxygen anymore. You destroy the blood in the person's body, and it takes 8 to 10 minutes for the person to die, but he slowly suffocates. And as much as his lungs will burst trying to breathe, and that as far as I'm concerned, that's the worst form of execution you can have, and it's also dangerous. Because the gas is explosive. If the gas leaks, it's going to kill witnesses. It's going to kill prison employees as well as the executee. So, you know, I think it was a mistake in the first place. But as I say, the other forms are, I think, much more humane. And I don't think there's any real humane way to do it. Because if I design all the equipment, and we do everything absolutely right, 20% of the time there's going to be a problem, because there's things involved in people's human bodies that are variable. So 20% of the time, it may be inhumane. It may not look
wow.
It may be inhumane. You know, I mean, you know, when we electrocute somebody, and I've taken provisions for that with the electric chair, that I designed, but the problem is that we've had people wake up a half hour after the execution and start breathing again.
Dang.
And they're probably brain dead, but the point is, the human body doesn't want to be destroyed. Acetylcholine, adrenaline, we have chemicals in the body that are designed to restart the heart. And even when we stop it, if those chemicals are still present in the bloodstream, it's going to restart the stuff. We have to make sure that we drive all the chemicals out into the bloodstream so that this doesn't happen. And the worst thing that you can deal with is the fact that I have to deal with is I built a system for Tennessee, which was a good system. The Jews went in and they brought a fellow named Weikert who built Florida's chair, and Florida's chair, all it ever did was torture people. It set Jesse Tafaro's head on fire. He come in and he modified my power supply so that it's going to hurt. He reduced the voltage, and he deliberately made it so it would hurt, but he believes that electrocution should hurt, so he reduced the voltage so that would happen. Now, they've used it twice, and they've been lucky, probably because I added a second electrode. There normally was two electrodes, one on the head and one on the left leg. They wanted to electrocute the left-hand side of the body because that's where the heart is. I added a second electrode, one on each leg, and so the person is grounded through both legs. It electrocutes the entire body, and it guarantees a better electrocution.
Well, Mr. Fred, we're getting close to the end of the show, but the main point that you said that people need to take away from is that you are, and by me listening, if I never knew, I would know right now, that Fred Lutcher is the expert. We didn't mention this, but, you know, Fred is recognized by Canada, the United States, and some states in Germany as being the world's foremost expert on gas chambers and anything to do with capital punishment execution. Isn't that right, Fred?
Yes, and that's why the Jews modified my electric chair in Tennessee, because if there's a follow-up and there's a bad execution, they're going to say, see, Fred Lucci didn't know what he was talking about. And my name's on all the equipment.
See, that's why...
Weikert didn't take my name off it.
That's why they go crazy. What drive crazy when the world's foremost expert examined these so-called gas chambers, killing fields in Poland and Germany, and said that the whole thing was a hoax. People, we've run completely out of time. Man, what a wonderful show we had. I'd like to thank Miss Monica, my little sister, my brother Fred, my little son Jason. God bless you three people. Thank you for coming on tonight. Thank you, Jay, for doing the marvelous job you always do. God, I love working with Jay. Good night, everybody. I love you people. Same time, same place next week. Let's see, about the 17th. And God willing, we'll be right back on the air again. Good night, everybody.